for a housing contract, all, you know, all that?
Because in the...
Well, I don't know anything about anybody paying for his campaign. I suspect that's all I can say.
Right. Well,
I might say, is that on now?
Yeah, it's on.
The conception, the Wheeler Howard bill, which of course the Reorganization Act came in 1934, approved I think in 1936, is allegedly self-government, inherent end in self-government.
What was that called?
The Wheeler Howard bill or the Reorganization Act, which was approved in 1936 by Secretary Ickes. Mm-hmm. It's not really Indian self-government because there are too many outside influences. Various churches, mainly the Jesuit order, and of course the state government and their revenue departments, and the various ranchers and influences too from Rapid City, I suspect highly. Furnishing money for their boy. Now, I can't prove that, but I suspect that he had a lot of money to throw around, and two of my two people, past presidents, one of them a very good friend of mine, helped him, and I underestimated these two people. As I say, one's a good friend of mine, and I didn't think they could get him in there, and they managed to do so with all that other help, you know, other undue influences which are not related to Indians. But seem to take over during these elections, which are coming up again this fall. Then on the onset of the functioning of this new council, the current council, it seemed to be his practice to ask for as much authority as possible to enable him not to be... That is, he wanted to discourage council meetings, keep them at a very minimum. And he wanted to be the whole show, you see. Wilson, yes.
Is there a regulation about how frequently the council has to meet in the tribal
mandatory? It's mandatory that the council meet four times a year. That's January, April, July. It's quarterly, and the other one's November, isn't it?
October.
Or October. Mm-hmm. And, of course, another thing, too, that came in by a fluke or a referendum vote, when people were allowed to vote from the various cities, although they're members of the tribe, in other instances they were discouraged and, in fact, refused to vote. In other instances, it came out that that only the chairman can call a special meeting, which in my opinion is arbitrary and unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And he has refused to call the January or the April session.
There have been no meet.
There hasn't been any meetings. There was one here a while back on March the 16th, mm-hmm. where he sent the police around, but he did not send the police to get me. He didn't want me at that meeting, mm-hmm. because I oppose him, see? I didn't want to be a part of his mob rule. When along about the time after they misconstrued that one resolution, 72-55, is when he started to formulate his goon squad. And I didn't believe in his type of mob rule. Uh-huh. And I opposed him on other matters too, which is my right. But got me in bad trouble a few times. Uh-huh. I had to stand up for my rights to dissent, and even now, it seems strange that a person, that people have to go so far as to be destructive, which I did not condone, I don't condone now, but they had to go that far to wake the people up in Washington and their Olympian aloofness, who heretofore would never pay any attention to the Indians' wants. I mean, the oppressed kind of Indian who does not have the, how do you say that French word, savoir faire, whatever it is, the know-how, mm-hmm. to be able to lie and cheat and steal out in the contemporary society as we know it today off the reservation. this, what I call a sociological den of thieves and nuts. The oracle's all wrong. Take any young couple, whether black, yellow, red, or color of the rainbow. They're adverse to this 25-year, 30-year tie on to a mortgage, and they work their fingers and their rear ends off. And then at the end, they're given a watch after they're retired or some such thing like that, and they get the mortgage paid for, and it goes fishing a couple of times and drops dead. That's something of the past. There's too damn many middlemen, in my opinion, just like this meat thing right now, that causes this oppression. And the lower you are on the totem pole financially in an economic base such as the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, the more worse off you are. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that has to be done now, we have what we call senators and all that, they're supposed to be ours, but there's a lot of instances where they can't afford to intercede for us, because to intercede, in some instances, they will have to step on the toes of their bigger Washita or non-Indian constituency. And I can appreciate their part of it. They're there to, of course, whatever their motives are, they vary. I mean, just like right now, Nixon, he's, in my opinion, if he's guilty of everything they've done in Washington here lately in this Watergate thing, he can never compare with the real big-time burglars, that cyclops of carpetbaggers, which is dubiously known as Congress, as I put it. As far as, and from an Indian's perspective, they're the big burglars and the thieves, is Congress, and that Secretary of the Interior is the dictator.
Mm-hmm.
Who guide the little helpless and defenseless Indian's destiny, and he's nothing but really a vegetable, a nose to count for an annual appropriation for this, that, and the other. There's 70 or $37 million allocated for what you might call reservations within the North and South Dakota area, or the Aberdeen area, as you might say.
Mm-hmm.
But where the hell's the money going? It's siphoned off somewhere,
right.
And by the time that trickles down to the more naive individual Indian, it doesn't amount to nothing. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And
sugar.
There was in that 50-year period between the Dawes Act of 1887 and 1937. 1937, I was 15 years of age. Here on the reservation, there was $100 million diverted from its intended purpose to defray the cost of Bureau of Indian Affairs and to divest the Indian of their land. Now that's a known fact, not known by too many people, because they like to hold the Indian in ignorance and not let him know any of his rights, you see.
So the Wheeler, Howard...
The Wheeler and Howard bill, all it did... You see, I belong to in a niche in all this vast scheme of skullduggery and everything, I belong to I take a unique niche in all this, you see. I was born in 1922 to the allegiance of the Teton Sioux Nation, and in 1924 allegedly made a citizen on June 4th, 1924, I think it's a date, I know that's a year. Well, that act then, even then, later on, was defeated twice in the Supreme Court. And then in 1940, they passed another act to make an Indian a citizen. I've got a brief that's devastating. I mean, I can prove my opinion that I'm not a citizen, but I don't want to jump, I don't think Uncle Sam wants to jump up that kind of a howling hound which still sleeps, you know. But someday it's going to have to be jumped up. This the question of compulsory citizenship as compared with voluntary citizenship. Compulsory citizenship is against all the laws of the United States as prescribed by the Constitution itself, allegedly self-enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, can we back up on those meetings there, quarterly meetings? And then special meetings, there's an ordinance to provide for special meetings wherein they can...
Well, only he could call those.
Yeah, But then they've got to give 5 days' notice in writing.
Yes, in writing, and that's never done. And another thing, too...
The giving of the notice is never done?
I've seen him discouraged. We've had a quorum a couple of times, but I see him like he'd tell certain ones to disappear. You know, he must have, because they disappeared. And we weren't able to get a quorum on a particular day because he didn't want one.
Are there other council members besides you who he doesn't tell?
Oh, yeah, there's about eight more, but...
How many are there?
Who signed a thing to stay away from the council so they couldn't get a quorum, see? But one of them sort of backslided, or whatever you say, on us, a cousin of ours, Mrs. Tibbetts, Florence Tibbetts from Allen. She signed an agreement not to go to the meeting so he keep him from getting a quorum.
Yeah.
And so on. That's just a recent action after the impeachment, you see. But in my opinion, he's still under suspension without pay.
Who?
And then, Wilson is. When I saw the futility of presenting the evidence to impeach him, you see, every time I'd get up to talk, they'd allow me 3 minutes and make me sit down, see? And, there's evidence that he said up at the hospital, that is, that the judge, Thunderbolt, the referee for the impeachment, whatever you want to call him, allowed that noon before the evidence was even started to be presented, that they have no evidence, they ain't nothing on him, they have nothing happened to him, you know. Well, I left the place in disgust. I didn't know those other people would follow me, but that's not my fault, but I left because I didn't want to get into any further trouble. I was about to walk around there and straighten that guy out, see?
How many councilmen is there on the council?
20.
And
what's the quorum?
Takes 14.
These councilmen are from all of the reservations?
Two-thirds, yeah.
That ordinance, or that resolution, you only barely got 14. On that count there, too.
Well, we don't know whether you really had 14, because, you see, I was ignored. Virgil Kilstraight was ignored. And I think Richard Little was ignored. He didn't want us at that meeting.
Which resolution is that you're talking about?
No, when he called that March 16th meeting, which they had that meeting allegedly giving him more power to do what he damn pleased.
What was Little's name, personally?
Richard Little. He's a representative from Ogallala, and Virgil Kilstraight's from Carr. Straight is from Carr.
That was, let's see, 7255?
Yeah.
What happened? Was that the one that was passed?
No, we were there then. But later on this year, March the 16th.
Uh-huh. Can we have copies of these? Is that possible?
Somebody's knocking on your door.
Yeah, I suppose. Here's
this one.
Ethel, do you have duplicates of these?
No, but you can take them and get copies.
We'll get Lizzie's copies and bring you back the originals. This 7306 is what you're talking about.
Well, I should let them take them and get copies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them back to you.
There's 14.
Yeah, we'll send them back.
See, here. If you notice, there's 14.
Make me a copy, will you?
Okay.
Send me a copy.
Okay. There are 14 resolutions here? Is that, it's 14 people.
14, see down the third.
14 is a quorum, see.
That's when he sent the policeman out after him and never sent for Hobart or these other guys.
Uh-huh.
You see, to send the police out there, it's kind of intimidating, you see.
Hobart out there.
Huh? Let me see something.
Huh? Next door.
Okay. Oh, and this is the court order that removes people. This is what we've been served with.
Yeah.
That was the...
That's court order followed that.
Followed the 7204?
Yeah.
The ordinances.
Well, you didn't pick it out, you know, by the language that's used in there.
Right.
When was the 7204 passed? That's the ordinance.
7204?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the ordinance of the Ogallala Sioux Tribal Council.
No, 72-55. The one where it started, they started, you know.
That was in November.
Okay, but the
November
one.
November 72.
The one I'm talking about is the one that sets up like section 111 9.1, which is riots definition.
Oh, yeah, that's, I haven't got a copy of that.
Well, I don't know when that was passed.
That's been with it for some time.
That was in 72, see, that 72 indicates the year it was passed.
I might not have been, because I don't remember.
And then the fourth, it's the fourth resolution or ordinance that's passed. What is that, a resolution or ordinance? 7204.
It's an ordinance.
Well, then that's ordinance number four of 1972.
Well, it should give a date there.
Yeah, it does, okay.
What is the date?
January.
August 25th. Oh, it says received, Pine Ridge Pine something agency, August 25th.
This 7255.
18 members, the 17th day of August.
65?
17th of August, 72.
72.
That was just last year.
What is that? What is the substance of that?
That was after the Sunday.
This is where they define what riots, unlawful assembly, command to disperse, command when not heeded, aid in dispersal. It sets up what to do in case of martial law.
Yeah.
Well, what was the history leading up to that that made him want to pass that resolution? You know, what was the occasion? I mean, like, I see the 7255, obviously.
I think it was, when was that? It was the Gordon deal and the BIA deal in Washington.
Yeah, Gordon and BIA.
Well, that's the BIA one is mentioned here.
Is it mentioned
there? Wait, and this is 7255. Whereas the members of the Oglala Sioux Tribal Council are extremely concerned with the recent activities of the AIM people in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. See?
But no, this other one was several months before that.
Yeah, this is 17th of August, 72.
Now, what does that say?
Last year.
This is the one that sets up what how they define riots, unlawful assembly.
Oh, well, that's part of the code.
What they need is the minutes, you see. Which they failed to put out the minutes.
Yeah, that's a part of the code.
Befuddled, and to keep the rest, put that down.
Yeah.
And to keep the rest of the council befuddled also. So.
Yeah.
Like I'm befuddled right now because I don't have those minutes to recall certain things.
Yeah, that would be helpful. And they're supposed to publish this?
Yeah, they never do. Never. That's Toby Eagle's practice. Every time he's been a secretary and I worked under him, he don't get the minutes out until about 3-4 months afterwards. And then he dictates from memory.
Uh-huh. So he remembers what he wants to remember.
Mm-hmm. Because he dictated to me from memory.
Yeah. You worked for him at one point?
I worked for him at one time.
When was that?
Let's see, several years ago. Yeah. I forgot what year it was.
So he's been on the council for a while.
Yeah. So he's been secretary on a number of occasions.
Yeah. It might be helpful for us to get a copy of the whole tribal codes, is that available? You know, is there
the tribal one?
Ordinances?
The tribal law.
Laws, is that?
That's pretty difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. You see, we had the minutes.
That's the way they want it, see.
They don't want people to have access to
them.
They don't have access to minutes. They want to run the whole...
They've just got one set of them, and you remember, Hobart, when they were going from that... little brick building over to the extension building.
Yeah.
They found a lot of these minutes that were office copies in the trash that they were burning up.
Hmm.
So therefore the tribe hasn't got a full set of minutes. And I was working there as a treasurer at the time, and I got all of these minutes. I even went back to my home from way back in Fire Thunder's time and brought all of them in, my copies, and marked them off as copies. And what some of them had my names on. They were in the trash pile, ready to be burned up.
When was this that they were being burned?
Several, 15 years ago.
Oh, way back then?
Yeah.
Did you retrieve them?
No, they were burnt up. I retrieved some of them, but some of them were burnt up.
Hmm. So, corrupt government on the reservation since, say, 1936, the government's been pretty well corrupt.
Oh, yeah. Here, the Indian got worse off, you see. It was designed for the white man to take over the houses. Now, here's another thing. These cluster houses, these instant ghettos, like this one of them here,
mm-hmm.
although it's cheap to live here, sure. The idea is, these are what you might call each one of them a miniature Trojan horse. You understand? I put that down. They want to get the Indian off the land, subject him and hold him to welfare, you see. As a dependent person, kill any, discourage any incentive for him to do what he, whatever he wants to do, find his place in the sun, as they say, and all that jazz. So they can take the rest of the land, you see.
Mm-hmm. Now this Howard...
It's just constant attrition over the years. The Holler and Wheeler Act is not Indian self-government, put it that way, because it was created by Howard and Senator Howard and Senator Wheeler, apparently.
And Ickes, mostly. Because we had one go-around. The first go-around, they got defeated badly. So then they come back, and as soon as they got, not a majority, but the number that they this wanted, then they forced it on us.
This was in Congress.
And then they enticed the Indians, see, to come along with this new act. They said they paid different ones. I know, I can't prove this, but different individuals around. We got our Quislings, too, you know, do anything for a buck, you know. Mm-hmm. And went around and induced them to vote the damn thing with a simple majority in here.
They sent the boss farmers of the BIA out to influence these Indians to vote.
Well, there you are.
A good picture.
That, in my opinion, is not kosher, you see. To send those bastards out to use their influence, and then there's where they could promise them, now I'll do this for you and that for you, mm-hmm. and all that jazz, you see. And it's, what it is, too, is Section 13 of the Federal Practice Manual tell you that it's a phase-out thing, to phase the Indian out. I mean, that's the idea.
Yeah. Well, they use the word termination.
Oh, yeah.
They were using that sometimes.
At various times. Appropriate times. Terminate the Indian. And that, in my opinion, that damn Section 13 is contrary to treaty.
Well, they don't even go by the Constitution and bylaws, because he promised it that there would be no more land sold to alienated to non-members, and that they would furnish the money so that the tribe could buy it. All right, here in 1948, Congress passed a law and lifted it without even letting us vote on it, a referendum vote.
Against their own act, you see.
By putting up
they violated their own 25-year trust period in 1910. They got the Homestead Act.
By putting what?
And that's how they alienated Firelight Lightning's deal for a dollar, see. I gave you a copy of that.
Putting the land up to the highest bidder. What did they call that one?
Supervised sale.
Yeah.
So Dick Wilson is just among other people that followed this Wheeler.
He's just a tool for Congress.
To his advantage, he's been that way. Now he went and bought a piece of land and used a white man's money, Hallie Merrill out here. And he used his money to buy this land. And then
white
he was
man
supposed
used
to,
his name, see, and
he was supposed to give it back to him by deed. He didn't do it. He went and sold the land.
The white man.
To another white man.
Uh-huh. Hemingway, the guy that's got the filling
station
down there.
Yeah.
He bought it from one of his kids. That he adopted several Indian children.
Yeah. Tax deduction.
Really?
Yeah. And then
what's his name?
Alvin Hemingway. I've got him enjoined in court on the...
I saw that on your list.
The... what the hell is it?
Now,
it has to do with usury laws.
What is the story then? Wilson borrowed money from some white man?
He borrowed it from Hallie Merrill.
No, Hallie Merrill furnished the money to him.
Yeah.
All right, furnished him
the
money to buy the piece of land. See, because he's an Indian.
Yeah.
And then he's supposed to give it back, I suppose, at a price.
Oh, because only you have to be an Indian to buy the
at
land?
At that time.
When was this?
Oh, it's been several years ago, back in 50.
Well, an Indian land sale can be made right now.
54, but I tried to buy land here, and that's where more goddamn logs and put it. I tried to buy Stella King, the piece
of
the 13 acres that she had out there. I couldn't buy it.
Now look what they done to Johann just the other day, 40 acres for Bud Merrill.
I know Bud must be greasing somebody in that goddamn office down there.
Well, I heard it. He and Congress like that. They call Bud Merrill, see, Johann stays at my house.
Who?
That's that old man.
Uh-huh.
He stays at my house.
What's his name?
Joseph Han. And the other day when I was gone, Bud Merrill came and picked
Bud
him
Merrill's
up.
Bud Merrill's a white man?
Yeah, he's
a rancher.
Yeah, rancher out here. He picked him up and took him to the office, and he wrote a check, and they wrote the deed then and there, and Johann signed it. That was last Friday, and Johann came back and told me that he sold that 40 acres. Well, he was supposed to will that land to me. Naturally, I was kind of disappointed in him doing it, but on second thought, I thought, well, the old man's old; he just will have that money to live on and be comfortable or do whatever mm-hmm. he wants with it, because when he's dead, he won't see any of it. So they had him sign a deed right then and there, Friday afternoon. And he said, they didn't explain to me. He said, I thought I was selling it to Bud Merrill's wife, who is a white woman. And I told him then, no, you can't do that, Joe. I know, so he got half mad at me. You don't want me to sell that, do you? I said, no, Joe, that isn't it. So Monday I called Tom. That's what Tom told me, that Bud Merrill came in with Joe, and he wanted to buy that land from Joe's.
He sold it to Bud, huh?
He sold it to Charlie Merrill, Bud's kid, who is an Indian. See, in the Indian.
Because technically, legally, they can't. The Indian can't sell the land directly to white people?
No. It's got to be supervised sale or by patent and fee.
Supervised
sale.
Sale, the highest
bidder. Where they put it up at
several bidders
notice, public auction for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, they know full well in that office that this kid does not have that kind of money. That somebody had to furnish the money for him. And he's 19, he's not of age yet.
Right.
What was the other way you said, patent?
Yeah, by patent and fee.
What is that?
You can apply for a patent and fee from the Secretary of the Interior.
Patent and fee.
Yeah, and there's no strings or holes on it. And the minute you get it, you
have
to start.
That's the clearest title you can get.
Yeah, you can get you can sell it, you can keep it, whatever you dispose of.
In other words, it gives you clear.
But it's susceptible then to taxation.
Yeah. It's no longer held in trust by the United States.
Okay. And the state can tax it. I've always questioned that.
Hmm. But now Dick Wilson, when he campaigned, he didn't have a damn thing.
Of his own? Money of his own?
No.
So he had to get money from somewhere.
Yes, and right after...
In other words, there's several this big money owns him.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a brother that's really rich or something?
No. He's got an uncle. Or second cousin. Wouldn't it be second or third cousin? Frank.
Yeah, it'd be his second cousin. His dad's first cousin.
Frank Wilson. He's got a great big unit out here in northwest of the reservation in White River.
So, how do you, what do people say about how Wilson paid for his campaign? Is there?
Well, such a thing like this favoring Wilson, Merrill's again.
Yeah. Everybody just gives him a little
kickback
here.
And all these big ranchers.
Yeah.
He protects them. He leans over backwards to give them all the privileges, mm-hmm. closes his eyes.
In other words, it's not really inherent self-government. And it's not. It's just for a few. It's not for the people, all the people. It's just for the select few.
Then he campaigned that every white man in the OEO would be let out, and some Indians would be hired in their place, which the OEO was supposed to do, is hire local people.
Right.
And if they'd lived here for a number of years, well, they're considered local people, and you cannot.
I don't know how that one guy can. Oh, he's an expert. I didn't think he could survive. That blonde-headed guy. What the hell is his name? In the OEO.
I don't know.
So one of his campaign promises was that he would replace all those?
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened?
No. And in fact, after that, about just this last, just during this year, he hired his favorite barman's wife out here. A white woman out here to be a secretary.
You got a copy of the charges of impeachment deal?
No, do you have a copy of that?
I think I have.
Or a copy, we could take a copy and send it back to him.
And then another promise he made was that when he got elected, his wife would stay home, take care of the children, and that job would be given to some other girl.
What was his wife's job?
Eva, she was a Head Start. director or teacher.
Uh-huh. That she would give up her job to another person.
Yeah, that's what he said. Uh-huh. She'll stay home and take care of the children because I'll be making enough money to provide for her and the children.
Yeah,
too.
I imagine
well,
you
never
is.
Did.
She's still working there?
She's still working, and then here's the ironical part of it.
Yeah.
All of those that were under her, the Head Start, who's anti-Wilson, he fired them all, but he kept his wife on.
What other things like that, I thought campaign promises that he, that can you think of?
You were talking one day about the highways that were out here, the construction. Did he make promises of that type?
Yes, and especially in town here. He said that there'd be improvements of the roads in town here.
Mm-hmm.
And that there would be...
Here, this will give you a good perspective.
Be many jobs open for
the
work
for the village to present it, see?
Mm-hmm. Can we keep this or can we take it and get a
You can have that. I got several others.
Okay. Great.
I know he's kicking about Geraldine driving these vans around. What does he do with these vans? He lets the marshal. They don't have no license.
Yeah.
He lets his daughter and his kids drive. Marshals drive them to Rushville.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a stop in White Clan, buy several cases of beer, and go on from there.
I don't think they got a federal driver's license to drive them.
Hobart and Ethel, who did the paving out here on these streets? The
Genesis. And they used inferior cement and sand. They didn't use a proper mixture.
There's another thing. They got money down there to repair these houses, but they won't use it. That Brooks, I got him enjoying too, because he won't let me move my little studio across the street to back here. See, in federal laws to encourage arts and crafts, sure as hell supersede any regulation that the housing authority might.
Brooks is in charge of housing, right?
Gene Brooks.
Hell, I hired him. Got down and gave him a raise, held his hand. Kept Eagle Bull and Poor Bear from Canada. All the while he's growing rattles, you know, and I forgot about those rattlesnakes also had fangs, you know. By golly, he quit me. Sure bit me.
You were a tribal judge when...
I'm still the tribal chief judge. They're going to find that out, too.
What? You were a tribal chief judge, too, when Wilson came in. Is that correct?
Yeah. Sure you was.
Oh, yeah, I was, yeah.
What, during One Feather's administration?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What happened? So all the records are either locked up or...
Destroyed.
Destroyed of, like... Court.
There's a lot of records down there. You go down that courthouse now, they can't find them.
Mm-hmm.
How about the hospital and the old folks' home? Is it...
The old folks' home is run by Gene Rooks.
There again, we'll return that thing. I used to make him keep it up pretty good. I chaired the house.
And he gets so much of that, of their, see, they have to pay so much for board and room. Mm-hmm. And he gets so much of that, too. And he won't fix it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's controlled by Gene Rooks and the Trust.
Gene Rooks is the...
Housing Authority.
Uh-huh. And you, like, had to deal with him when
He's
were...
He's the executive director.
Crazy Horse, too?
What?
The Housing Authority. They don't know whether they got five members.
When you were managing the Crazy Horse
home? Was he the original?
When you managed the Crazy Horse homes, he was also the chairman of the Housing Authority?
He was the Housing Authority executive director.
At that point, too.
And prior to that, Dickie Wilson's wife was.
Really?
And they embezzled a lot of money. They charged $700 or $800 worth of phone bills, personal phone bills.
I had him before the grand jury.
Oh, yeah?
And then one day, him and a traveling engineer out of Minneapolis, what they used to call PHA, Public Housing Administration, and they went into HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Doyle, as the U.S. Attorney at that time, Clayton's predecessor, the one that's there now, wanted to take just the Indian, not the white man, and I was noble, and I says, no, you take them both, you don't take any. I wish I'd have let him take him then. God damn, we'd have this trouble now. I got the letter, a copy of it, somewhere around here where I fired his, I mean, over my signature, Bryce Lay and Bob Carlo, and I fired him. Her, too, as far as that goes. I mean, he was there doing the maintenance work, actually running the whole damn show. See, she's just a figurehead. But we fired her, and that meant that he had to go, too, see, so. We gave them chance to defend themselves and everything, but they couldn't have come up with the hard facts, specifics as to why they did these things or didn't do them. These allegations were had on them.
Mm-hmm. You were a member of the Housing Authority?
I was a chairman there for five or 6 years.
And Bob Carlo was on that too?
Yeah, he was the treasurer.
So Dickie Wilson's wife would quite a drinker. She'd be up to White Clay and somebody wanted to pay their rent. She'd write the receipt on the match cover, or tear a piece of paper off of a grocery bag, give the receipts. And then when she come up short with all that money, my son was one of them, a deceased son. He kept all his receipts. And they said that she didn't deposit his money. She used to pack rolls of bills in her purse up there. Everybody would see all that money that she's packing in her purse. And they thought that he didn't save those receipts. Okay, come up with those receipts. So they couldn't kick him out. They had to give him credit with those receipts.
Because she signed her name?
Yeah, and she'd sign them when she was drunk, when she was drinking.
But they never did anything to her about making her produce that money, right?
No. And they just let her go, didn't they, Hobart?
I don't know. I tried to indict her, but goddamn it, I was all alone. So a lot of times, in fact, I was vice chairman for many years. Well, they would never take me on any of their trips or anything because I was against Wilson to begin with. I didn't even steal. It's like this block house up there that never finished. You got that block from down there.
Now, tell them about Dorothy Richards and John B. embezzling all that court funds.
Yeah, they embezzled a lot of money out of the court. Mm-hmm. When Dorothy, she was the judge then, she's not a judge now, but she's a court.
Dorothy Richards and who?
And her uncle, John B. Richards.
Is that who they called Bat?
Yeah.
Bat or Bat?
She
was a chief judge then, see?
She was a clerk of courts and a prosecutor, Dorothy Richards was.
She was she and her uncle were embezzling this money, see, and I think, I'm not sure now, she turned state's evidence on Bat and he had to plead guilty, and they never did prosecute her because she had 9 or 10 kids, you see, it wasn't economically feasible to put her in jail.
What money were they embezzling? Where was that?
The court funds, the fines that were taken in, costs and everything.
See, they won't take checks. All they'll take is
cash
for people's bail money. Yeah.
Cashier's checks made payable to all the
state check or something.
Government checks, post office money.
Okay, let me ask you another thing. When, as far as people's monies, like the checks from the government or the welfare checks or something. Is it true that like certain people had control of those and then allocated the money out to them in small amounts and then kept the rest? Do you know anything about that?
Well, that's happened. And this guy Randy Thies comes out of Nebraska up here to pick up money. They used to, anyway. I don't know if he still does.
No, they could have stopped to that.
Did they? He used to get it. He had a box up here that they put it in.
Jan Szczesinski done that.
Who? Out there, Szczesinski out there in Wounded
Knee.
Yeah, that's one
of
the reasons.
She was a postmistress.
That's what I heard, that they would cash everyone's welfare check, but then they would only give them so much.
High prices.
Not only welfare,
keep them owing their soul to the company store, you see?
Right.
Just repetitiously after.
Rip them off here and rip them off here.
Every month, see?
Right. When was that situation with Dorothy and Bat Richards and when he went to trial for that embezzling? Do you remember what year that was?
That was when John B. was the chief judge.
When was that?
That was before you.
Around 66 or 65. Yeah. As I was, on July 20th, I became chief judge in 67.
July 20th?
Yeah, 67. That got caught writing a bad check in Pierre before then. Mm-hmm. And they tried him over the telephone in state court.
They what?
They tried him over the telephone.
Jeez.
And he had to make good that check at a filling station there. I don't know what it was, $34, I think, or some such. Maybe it was 24, some such amount.
Yeah.
And no account checks. He's hell for that. He's got a brother that's done time, 4 or 5 times, in and out of the penitentiary, kept his mother broke, you know. Tells him he couldn't help him anymore.
Do you have a list of, like, the various council positions and the jobs that are they're supposed to be? Is that in the tribal laws? Or
in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. See, there's president, vice president, and treasurer, fifth member, secretary, and such other officers as the council may
Don't you have a copy of the Constitution?
No.
Jesus Christ.
We haven't been able to get
I have one. Like they've got a lot of them down the office. But every time I get one, I give it to somebody.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, they do have copies of those.
Oh, yes.
But it's the ordinances that we couldn't.
Well, they've got copies. The only kept up ordinances on file or resolutions is in the superintendent's office.
But they don't give out public, they wouldn't give us a duplicate set of those.
I doubt it.
To you or something.
I doubt it, because some of them are, I mean, certain ones, yeah, just like some of these I got.
Yeah.
I have to go and ask for them, and a particular one, I can't.
Can't just say, give me everything.
What?
Can't just say, ask for a set of all.
No, they won't furnish a set. Right. And there again, the council has, supposed to have a set. And that, a lot of them was missing when I was the treasurer. And I went over there and got copies.
Was that an elected position, treasurer?
Yes, yeah. By the council.
Yeah.
See, the president and vice president is elected by the people at large.
And the council members?
And the council members, representatives. Oh, and the representatives.
From the 20. Districts.
Yeah. Right. Then they elect the treasurer and the secretary and fifth member and critic and sergeant at arms and uh-huh. such officers as they may need.
How many districts are there in Pine Ridge Reservation?
Originally 7.
How many is there now?
8.
Eagle what?
Eagle Nest is Wombly. And there's Lake Creek. That's Martin.
I can't hear this one. I got too many notes.
And then there's Allen District.
Allen is the name of the district?
South Dakota. Let's see, what do they call it? They've got an Indian name for that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's Allen, South Dakota mm-hmm. is a district.
Porcupine is a district, isn't it?
What?
Porcupine,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And then Porcupine.
Who's in charge of that?
The tribe.
Okay, but weren't you giving names like Eagle Nest was in charge of one blue?
No, those are names of the...
Eagle Nest and
Wombly.
Oh.
Eagle Nest and Wombly, that's the same place, right?
Yeah.
That's the district name of it. Wombly means Eagle Nest in McClure.
And then there's Kyle and Medicine Root, they call it.
Kyle is Medicine Root?
Yeah, originally Medicine Root, but the city is Kyle, so then they refer to it as Kyle, uh-huh, too. And then in between there is Allen. What do they call Allen District?
Pass Creek,
yeah.
How about Porcupine?
Yeah, Porcupine.
That means Porcupine.
What do they call Porcupine? They got an Indian name for that.
Just Porcupine.
Yeah. Nan Manderson. Nan mm-hmm. Wounded. No, mm-hmm. Wounded Knee is part of Manderson.
Part of Manderson.
And then there's a Pine Ridge and Wakabomney District.
Call
Pine Ridge what?
Wakabomney. W-A-K-P-A-M-N-I.
W-A-K what?
W-A-K-P-A-M-N-I.
That means Pine Ridge in Lafon?
Yeah, Pine Ridge.
Now look.
And then there's White Clay District.
I want this back. You can have this reorganization back.
This is
but
the...
But this, I need this in a case.
This you need back?
I want this back.
Okay.
You can take a copy of it. You know, on the machine up there.
Yeah, yeah.
So forth. And send this damn thing back to me, because I got notes here about the land and all that jazz and that that's keyed in with my case.
Okay, we'll
removal of officers and so forth.
Oh, your phone's disconnected.
No, I said I didn't pay the bill. I'll pay it soon.
Everybody's having trouble.
I'm supposed to call Sioux Falls today sometime. And they're supposed to call me. Sorry. 17 places in the Reorganization Act. The Secretary may have the Secretary's discretion. It's a bill for the Secretary, the dictator. And the kind of bill called the Omnibus Bill is going to come out during Bennett's commissionership. And the different senators laughed at him. But this is a bill for the Secretary of the Interior. The dumb son of a bitch has never read the Reorganization Act.
Now they sure violate this Amendment 4, right of people to be secure in their persons' home houses. They don't even have a
warrant
supported by oath or affirmation to go in and search your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dickie Heath.
Illegal search and seizure. That doesn't sound ridiculous.
Can you all talk about the goon squads and the use, Wilson's use of the tribal police and everything to harass people and.
He's never given authority to hire any goon squad that I know of.
Uh-huh.
I was the one that named them the goon squad.
It's an apt name.
And I don't know, I understand that he's paid it with the OEO funds. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the rumor.
Uh-huh. When did he start to do that? Do you know when he started to?
Soon after the BIA. Takeover.
Soon after the BIA takeover in Washington.
Uh-huh.
The area director would come down here and they'd get panicky and press the panic button. They'd call all the cops in from the different reservations before that. Then they got so that he'd have these people who were known felons deputized, as it were, so here. And they go around, I guess we're unarmed right now. I couldn't understand is how the hell the superintendent and the marshals and FBI could look the other way.
Well,
in instances like that.
I've taken issue with the superintendent, the FBI, the marshals, Koloff, and Eastman.
Around
about that. And I've named, like John B. committed embezzlement. And there's this Glenn Three Stars. Mm-hmm. Spent a year in the Lincoln Penitentiary.
Dishonorable discharge out of some service, I don't know who the hell.
And then there is this Woody Richards, who spent 2 years in the Sioux Falls Penitentiary, rape on a 60-year-old woman.
Kind of deputies, eh?
Wow. So how did people in the community first feel the effects of the Goon Squad? I mean, did they seek out like the militant people?
Well, some are afraid of them, see, and some of us are not, see.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of them. That's why I got in trouble. Now, if I'd let that guy bully me, he'd come down the house here. His dad was shot for a fool with other women. You know, he should have, that son of a bitch should have been shot 20 years before he was, Charlie Rischel. And he's a bastard son of Charlie Rischel. Hmm.
Do you have a list
of... His name isn't really Three Stars. Hell, I can prove that. A list of what?
Who's on the Goon Squad or the BIA?
I don't know. Pedro's got a whole list of...
Pedro Bissonnette?
Yeah.
I've got it here somewhere. Did have. It's on a blue paper.
I understand they were paid $4 an hour. Is that right?
Right, they were.
$4 an hour?
They called them security guard.
And they did that, and then they managed to pay them officially by calling them, deputizing them? And
apparently, yeah.
Oh, Ethel, did you mention to us last time we were down here that there was one up in White Clay, one of those goons who tore up his commission and quit or something like that?
Timmy Folsom? Yeah.
Do you think it would be possible for us to talk to him sometime? Do you think he would be... Because he might be able to describe, you know, exactly what the arrangement was.
If I hadn't been in it, he'd know what the hell is
what they said.
I don't
know. Right. You know, he might not want to talk to us also. He might be afraid to talk to us. And so forth.
See, they know that I'm old and I'm sick now, see? Now, 10 years ago, they would never think of trying that on me. I'll beat the hell out of all of them those days. I would pile them all up in one pile.
What in the world
did
I do with that?
And you know, on a sidewalk, I'm always reluctant to ever get in the beat, because one time I had the hell scared out of me. I was doing this job in Salida, Colorado, for an ex-chief of police of Cheyenne, Wyoming, a guy named Harvey Jackson. I was decorating his bar that he bought from some Greeks down there. Those Greeks are all friends of mine. Migos brothers. And there's a big miner come in there, and he's drinking a beer, and he drank it up, and he went around. I was sitting at the lunch counter, see, and then the opening there, a little office, and into the apartment, Harvey's apartment. Well, Tom Nash staggered in there. He's a Greek friend of mine. And where he got to, he just changed his name. It was probably some long Gaspopoulos or something, and he changed it to Nash. Yeah. And came in, and that big miner coming back and accused that old man of drinking beer. And I knew better than Tom. They would never take his checks. They just swear that he sobered up and tell him what his bill was, and he'd write him a check. And he was trying to write a check, and oh shit, he couldn't read his writing and all that jazz. He's a hell of a nice old fella. And well to do, I mean, hell, he didn't ask to ask nobody for nothing. Miss Miner accused him of drinking that damn beer and turned him around. Oh, God, he knocked him through that little office clear into the apartment through both doors. They weren't quite closed, you know, or latched. He just up there close, and then he just went right on through both. I kill that old man. I looked over at Harvey, and Harvey went like that. I meant to throw him out, you know. So I took the guy by the arm. I said, now you're going to have to leave. And hit that old man. I said, we'll call the police. In fact, they already called the police anyway. So, boy, he started drawing a hell of a rumpus. So, well, we'll get outside and we'll settle it. We'll get out there, and Tammy put his hands up, and I fainted him, and plump, that 1-2 right on the chin. It wasn't too hard, just you know, enough to knock him down, but Johnny was so damn big, he just kind of hit on his butt and then tipped over, and his head hit that sidewalk. He was out all afternoon into the next afternoon. Boy, Harvey, I'm going to take it up to the next time. He said, Miner's got to fight if that guy died, see. And after that, boy, I was scared of this goddamn spike.
Yeah.
You never know how they're going to end.
Oh, I've got that at home in another bill pool.
Just a while ago, on the news, it was this morning, got a, the local news, these two people are doing a practicing this karate. I don't know about the bottom. I had another friend, the same damn thing happened to him. He kicked this guy under the heart here, see, and killed him.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened this morning, some guy down there in Nebraska, one of the colleges. Maybe it's overshadowed. You know, Hogan drowned. You know that newsman from that radio station over there? Stepdaughter got underwater there and she couldn't swim. And he jumped in to get her and I guess he couldn't swim either. So hell, they both got off.
Wow.
He's a good fellow, Hogan is. But this guy, this friend of mine, hell, they always wanted me to come in. You know, be a participant. I'm a lover, I'm a fighter, I kind of talk to him. Thank God, boy, he kicked that guy under the heart, just like this guy this morning telling him.
Yeah.
And you know, it cost him a hell of a lot of money to get out of that. He got out of it, but it cost him money.
Not karate, really.
But not you know. This goon squad got a hold of two of my granddaughters the other night, a week ago.
Well, there's another thing, though. What can she do, see?
What happened to you?
They took them out and forced them to drink and gave them pills. Fortunately, they weren't raped. Why, in God's green earth, they didn't rape them.
Was it determined they weren't raped?
Yeah.
Your granddaughters? Mm-hmm. How old are you?
Well, if you don't do anything...
One is 12 and one is 15, but Icy swears up and down, Elmer Fudd. She kept on saying, El, don't let Elmer Fudd near me, Grandma. Don't let him come near me again. Now, he could have used rubbers.
Hmm. They took him and they got him
drunk. That's Elmer Fudd.
Got him drunk, and they dumped him off in my driveway.
One of the most depraved people around.
The girls were so...
I don't think he's right, man.
So drunk. They were telling me what happened.
Mm-hmm. Three stars. He was married to his half-sister one time.
The Elmer Fudd is the guy's real name?
Elmer Winters.
Winters, everyone
that's
calls him.
Dorothy Richards,
his
brother.
Dorothy Richards' brother.
Mm-hmm. The phony judge.
And they, one, well,
I wish I had a copy of my petition.
I think the oldest girl is reluctant. They're scared because they forced them in at the point of a gun.
Yeah.
And then they told them if they told on them that they'd kill them. Well, they were so drunk at the time when they told me. They were scared, so they told. But this yeah. other one was reluctant. She's older, she's 15.
Yeah.
But they said it happened right in front of the cafe, said she couldn't see who they were. But Icy said, Grandma, I know Elmer Fudd. It was Elmer Fudd. And the other one said, no, it wasn't Elmer Fudd. But then they described one of the guys that had the gun, said he had a brace around his neck. And he kept on saying, Elmer, slow down, Elmer, you'll break my neck again. Well, that was Elmer's brother that was in a car wreck 3-4 weeks ago, and he killed his wife.
What's his name?
Louis, Louis Boy, they call him, Louis Boy Winters, Louis.
And Elmer Fudd was driving then?
That's what Icy says,
Louis
evidently.
Well, goddamn, looked like they'd find out.
Well, they haven't.
They
I just called.
You see there, the
and they haven't
people,
apprehended
they
them
don't
to
give
question.
A damn what the hell happens down here, see?
Not even to their own people.
Yeah.
They kill their own wife.
You see, the authorities, you see, they don't care. Those are just a bunch of Indians down there. Just like my stepdaughter, she's in Samoa, she got raped. And they let him plead guilty to carnal knowledge. And God, I got a letter, I just looked at that the other day. Old Doyle, a bastard, and everything, daring him to prosecute. You son of a bitch, I'll prove you're a bastard in front of 12 jurors and all that jazz. And I would.
Hmm. When was it?
He offered me and Chris out of $350 for a little bitch I wouldn't sell it to.
For your what?
I got enough goddamn money to buy one of my pictures.
Yeah. What? When was that your stepdaughter was raped?
Well, that's been...
A long time?
About 5 years ago.
Oh. It's pretty common.
Who was the guy?
This yellow boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's married that Samoan. I think even if it's a yellow boy and where the shit, I'd rather see her married to him. She married that Samoan when she's down there now. It cost me $500 and something to bring her back. And then she wanted to come back here a while back, and I wouldn't send her money, and now she's giving her mother a kind of a cool shoulder, I guess. And yeah, maybe she's learned to enjoy it down there. They went to another island the other day and said not to write till after the 10th of next month.
But what can we do when they report these things and these things actually happen? And with this kind of government that we've got here, just like I told that commissioner the other day, I wasn't satisfied with any of the police officers that they had.
I say that's for the government, governor's daughters, yeah.
Right. It'd be a different story.
All hell raised.
Yeah, right.
You see?
That's right.
How about
the governor's daughter or something?
What do you think the rate of...
The governor's daughter, what they done there? I said it. Say it was Sacred Knife had a daughter got raped. By God, they turned prosecutors without end after that guy.
How many people do you think are raped a year? I mean, an estimation. It seems to be a large number.
Oh, it's hard to say. There's some of them who's never reported.
Right.
They got a cop down there now. It's a sex feeling of some kind. One of my nieces by marriage came walking by, and this guy, he tried to molest her one time. Scared the hell out of her. She's married now, but that's when she was about 14, 13 or 14.
They laugh about it. They think it's cute.
Mm-hmm. This thing with your two granddaughters happened just recently?
Yes, about a week ago. Nothing's been done about it outside of the Inspector Leonard from the BIA came and questioned them both.
Eastman? Mm-hmm.
No, Leonard. Eastman was too busy other places. Inspector Leonard was sent from another reservation in here to help.
That was Leonard for years.
And it's his opinion that the girls are holding back, especially this older one.
Holding back more information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're
that
probably
scared. That's what he said.
Right. Well,
wait till her dad gets back. He'll straighten her out.
Well, but they're... What'll happen? They give out all the information they have, and then charges are brought against these two girls.
The thing is, they haven't even apprehended them to question them yet. They're just running around. And then this Louis boy, Winters, went to Denver to the VA hospital. And that Elmer Fudd's still running around. He got a 15-year-old girl into trouble, and he had to marry her. And I said, I'd rather not.
Is he one of Alex's boys, or is that Joe Twist's himself?
And they're Dorothy Richards' brothers also?
Yeah.
Some are half brothers, some clover.
Yeah, her name.
Now this, the one that stayed out there with the Ames, now she hates her mother's guts. She knows all about that.
Ellen.
What her mother did to her dad, Alec Winters.
Is that Ellen, you mean?
That's Ellen,
yeah.
Well, about these vans, they were accusing this, you know, FBI demand that FBI probe into these affairs of Geraldine Janice letting her children drive these vans around. They never did, but I've seen Dickie Wilson let his son drive it around. He's 17 years old, and he don't even work for the OEO.
This is just rumor now. One of my boys here come back and told me that... when Poker Joe gets back, he's going to tune this Dick and his son up because his, what's his name, the one went up for rape before?
Billy.
That's one of Wilson's sons?
He raped his daughter, see?
Yeah.
Which one, I don't know.
Billy?
Which one? Who raped
him? Yeah, Billy's supposed to rape one of the granddaughters there.
No,
did you hear that?
He had her for 2 or 3 days, and they couldn't find him. They didn't even try to find him.
But the little kids are talking about him.
Yeah.
What was the woman's name that he had?
Her granddaughter. I don't know which one it was.
The same one that was with this other.
That's afraid of the people. See?
Yeah. Mm.
And Joe chased him with the U-Haul clear into Nebraska and couldn't catch him. Well, Joe did slap the shit out of him.
I guess he did.
At Dickie Wilson's house. He slapped him up good. And they bragged about he said he was going to beat Joe up. So the women kept him from beating Joe up. There's no way that he can beat Joe up.
Who's Joe? Is that your son?
That's my son.
Where's he at now?
He's in California. He'll be back in June or sometime in June. He was originally and definitely for AIM. So was John B. and a whole bunch of them.
John B. was one of the local chapters officers.
Yeah, and then when Dick came into existence as a chairman, somehow they switched back over to Dick. Hmm. And I was pretty sore at my son over there.
Who's John B.?
John B. Richards, that's Dorothy Mays.
You know, this thing's a half a day short.
Uncle.
What is?
It didn't say 23rd until noon, so I got to turn it around one time, right?
What time is it?
7 after 3.
So this Billy Wilson, he was one of 5 boys that raped one girl, a gang rape.
Do you know who that woman was, who that girl was?
Yes, she's Mildred Young's granddaughter. What was her name now? Blackfeather. Yeah, Blackfeather. She was 14 or 15 years old at the time.
When did that happen, do you know?
Well, that happened about 2 years ago.
Do you have the name of the 7 people? The gang raper?
Well, I know. There's his.
One was a Salisley kid.
Well, he got on.
There's another thing, see? Here are these Indian kids out there, and they threw them on the mercy of the court. Plead guilty, and then, of course, they sentenced them. Well, this other kid's got money to fight the damn case, so his dad gets a lawyer, and they beat him.
Said they were discriminating
against him. He's not a kid.
Because he's a white boy.
Can I make some more coffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there was Louie.
Wait, no.
There was this Billy Wilson.
Rinse out the thing.
Billy Wilson, and there was this Louie Gallagher. And who was the others? Wasn't one of them Jola Charging's brother? What was his name? Charging. Mm-hmm. And 2 others. I can't remember who the other 2.
What is this?
What was the Wilson boy's name?
Billy, they call him. Now see, he's under probation, and I call a probation officer up and ask him to come down, talk to me about this, and he never did show up. And that kid's drunk all the time.
Billy Wilson?
Yeah, but he's protected by.
The
BIA, that guy's driving a Thunderbird in here from
Charging.
No, Charging? This is Sylvan Huff.
Sylvan is off. Well, I'll fix that shit right quick.
He never did show up.
I never did. I wish you know. I never think of this angle. But by God, I'll tell you, he's going to show up.
When do you think?
I'm not telling him to show up. He'll show up.
When do you think you'll be able to start? Getting some action.
And on my cases?
Yeah. And become tribal chief again, Judge.
Well, I don't know. I got the petition in there now. I just sent it in the mail with several other answers that the judge told me to send in resisting these motions for dismissal on these various cases. And I filed an informal papers that I wrote that day. But I got money now. Hell, I can pay it. You know, I'll have a hell of a lot more money in just a few days. I can pay the fee.
I want to tell you something.
Judge Fred Nichol.
I want to tell you something about, no offense to you, Hobart, but right across here is his brother-in-law. He's one of the biggest bootleggers.
I told my wife about it, and she says, I'm glad by God.
And Dwayne, one of our lieutenants on the BIA police force, that's his father.
The bootlegger is the father.
Yeah, and there's Ski Jacobs, the one you saw up there yesterday.
That's in his police record. That's Vincent Brewer, his first cousin.
Who lives over here? What's his name?
Dave
Brewer.
My brother.
Dave Brewer. And Dwayne Brewer is the...
Brewer is his son.
Uh-huh.
And then here's Ski Jacobs. He has a son, Bobby Joe, they call him, married to his choppy. Geez, a bootlegger. Those people are all involved.
What type of bootlegger?
Wine, whiskey.
They sell that type of thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they just get protected by their relatives that are on the police force?
Yeah, they just ignore them. They don't pay any attention to them.
Right.
No, she is not here. I wonder where our paper is. Whose baby is that? Brigitte? Whose little baby is that? Brigitte?
That's why I say I don't think
somebody
we should
have
baby? Local police here. In the place. I was definitely against it to start out with.
Uh-huh.
Oh, by the way, Fred Hendrickson is going to subpoena you for Joe. As a character.
Oh, did you get through it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mike Rorick, he did resign, and they said he was there yesterday and today picking up all these things. But I guess he appeared in Deadwood on some of these cases as a witness. Now, I don't know whether he's going to show up to appear against Joe or not.
What is this subpoena, Hobart? What, in Pedro's case?
For Pedro.
To be a character witness?
Apparently.
What's the date you're supposed to appear up there?
The 30th.
Yeah, that's Pedro's case is the first. His is the first of all the cases of people involved in the Wounded Knee and stuff. Oh. His is going to be the first trial to come up. And I think this case is actually for something previous to him, isn't it?
When he ran into a... involved with my son, Joe Maribel.
Running over that policeman?
I think right. Isn't that what the case is? Something about?
Well, assaulting a federal officer to start out with.
What's the story behind it?
They supposedly assaulted Wayne Romero, one of our punk BI goon squad.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got witnesses to prove that they never did see him that day.
Pedro and Joe were supposed to?
Yeah, Pedro and Joe.
Yeah.
You see, I was the only judge here that ever asked for professional help. I used to go see Judge Parker, and I'd see Jim Agnes, and they have a lot of innumerable people up there. And Louis Freiberg. Now, he's appointed my lawyer by that magistrate up there, and I didn't know as hell I'd known him Wilson for years. And I didn't know that those guys respected me that much. I know I owe him a debt of gratitude, really. And then he went on and he called me judge and everything, and welcome judge, and all that kind of language, and he put the minimum bond on me, south of cognizance. And he pointed Louis, Louis is a friend of mine up to an extent. To a certain extent, he represents the bishop. But there again, it puts me in an untenable position because Louis knows I got two of them padres, these priests right down here, and joined on two different actions, and one of them twice.
For what?
For civil action, violation of constitutional rights.
Right.
We're having to do with my right to property down there on some lots where they got that big building.
Mm-hmm.
That steel building. And then a bingo thing where he wouldn't let me play for the jackpot because all I wanted to do is spend a dime and take a dime shot at this big jackpot. He wanted me to play all night. See, I detest the damn game. That he lets juveniles play. That might be a criminal thing against Steinmetz.
Well, here all of this bingo money isn't accounted for now either. Well, and here's our swimming pool down here.
Well, there's Ski Jacobs' wife now. We're having all the bingo money for the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
There's another savings fee that's not kosher. Chief of Police's wife.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about Sister Hawk?
know that other than she's allegedly a respectable woman, as far as I'm concerned. She's, her brother's this judge down here put the $35 cash bond on me, but he didn't have any recourse. If he'd have gave me a self bond, Wilson would have fired him, see?
Yeah.
Remember, he sat there and thought a long time.
Where's the judge?
Judge Tubolos. He's the only one, incidentally, who's ever been confirmed by the council as prescribed in the code, you see? The code says specifically in section 2.2, subject to the confirmation of the Ogallala Sioux Tribal Council at their next general session, a regular session.
Uh-huh.
And Dorothy Richards and Brent Tibbetts have been innumerable regular sessions, not innumerable, but a few have gone by, three or four or five, where they've never been confirmed, you see?
And the last two regular sessions have never happened, right?
No.
They're still in October.
October was the last one. There was supposed to be one in January and one in
October.
Carried over from October.
Yeah. And there's supposed to have been one in January and April?
They're supposed to finish the old business.
To my knowledge, they've never really adjourned, you see. Then that's what he had me arrested against that one ordinance. Harry Conroy said that's still valid over Toby Eagle's signature. It's never been rescinded. That ordinance where you can't interfere with a council member when they're in session. Well, he had me falsely arrested, falsely accused, and all that jazz, you see.
Mm-hmm. You know what? There in the courthouse this morning, old Judge Tibbetts wouldn't speak to me. Look at Mary and go, well, hello, Judge Tibbetts. I said, how are you this morning? Barely said hello. Got up and pulled him out.
They didn't know that you were in this that day.
Yeah.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
What, did they say anything to you?
No. And they haven't, so far.
Good, we're hoping you didn't have any
questions. Now, there's Bob Carlo. I can't understand him. He was with me. Without him, we wouldn't be able to apply a fire that he bought with, and Dick Flash, or fire Dick in 66. And now he's over there with Dick. He's got his nose up in Dick's...
Posterior.
He is...
Hi.
Hi.
Who's that, Ty?
Yeah.
Hi, baby. Come here.
What was that story about Joe and Pedro's bus then?
What? Oh. So they were going to file charges against Popo Joe in the federal court, and I was lucky enough to get a copy of that warrant signed by Judge Tibbetts. Some way or other, Paul.
You got that? Did you give that to the lawyer?
I gave it to Hendrickson, yeah. Some way, somehow, they turned it over to the federal, and within 24 hours, got it from tribal to federal,
mm-hmm.
And that's where they caught this Wayne Romero in two or three lies.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Romero, the one that Poker was supposed to have assaulted.
Was this the thing where of Pedro running into somebody with a car?
Yeah. So then they had a warrant out for him, and they had three states, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wyoming. They were looking for him, supposedly. And then they caught him between here and White Clay.
Poker
Joe. They stopped him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poker Joe was driving.
Yeah.
And they got out, and Pedro got out too, and they told him that they had a federal warrant on him, but they didn't tell him what, why.
Mm-hmm.
And so Booker tried to talk his way out of it. Said we'd be He told him. He said this. There's a tribal warrant. Said we'll show up tomorrow morning, but they wouldn't allow us. And then Pedro said there's no custody. He said there's nobody going to take me. And he got in Booker Joe's car and drove up, and then backed up. And Price was in the way, so he hit Price, not intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he, in other words, now that's the part there. Now, he backed up and hit Price.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And then they're charging him with what, attempted murder, assault of a federal officer,
assault with a deadly weapon or something like that. He's no, they've got assault and battery and escape, and then they've got assault and battery. And escaping, both same charges against Booker Joe and and Pedro.
Does Pocahontas have to come
back and
go to trial?
But they made them into two federal counts, is that it?
Yeah, two federal counts, yeah.
And they're going to have a trial together or a separate trial?
A separate trial.
Wonder why they do that?
There's a law that you cannot use where there's a crime been committed by two people at the same time, and
that
they can't use one against the other
to
testify. It's in accordance with the Fifth Amendment.
That you mean they requested separate trials, or the government gave them separate trials?
No, the attorneys did for the boys. Talked with Poker Joe's attorney this morning.
Who's his attorney?
Fred Hendrickson. He's the head of the Small Business Association up there, and he's a court-appointed attorney for Poker Joe.
From where?
From Rapid City.
Hendrickson?
Hendrickson.
Yeah.
He has an office. Well, he's listed in a telephone directory at Rapid City.
Yeah.
And I got a letter from Pedro, and Pedro said that the legal defense is going to... some legal defense is going to defend him, the same one that defended somebody in this Watergate issue last year.
Lawyer?
Mm-hmm. Last year.
Pedro's lawyer?
They're trying to get him.
Maybe a wine glass?
What's his name?
Leonard Wineglass?
I think so. There's a letter there.
Huh. Yeah, I know somebody from our defense committee is going to...
Weinberg, is he the one who wrote that?
He mentions his name.
Garo
thing? He was with his Watergate, and he's from
what's his
Washington.
First name? Leonard, you say?
Lenny.
Yeah, Leonard.
Leonard Weinberg.
Wineglass.
Huh?
Wineglass.
Well, Wineglass, not Weinberg.
No.
This is a letter from Pedro?
Yes.
You know, Jerry Giesler was in on that. Was Darrell, you know, when they tried to get him on a... bribery rap in California years ago. Hey, Giesler, he was attorney for all the...
But you know what they're going to do? They're going to take Pedro's testimony. They're trying him first, and then they're going to pit it against Joe's testimony. I think they could very well do that. Joe's testimony when he comes up for trial, which when they set his trial for June 9th, but Mr. Hendrickson said that was too soon, that he couldn't get all of the people subpoenaed.
There's 90 cents against the law. See how much money the state collects in this goddamn place? Thousands of dollars. State tax.
Does he mention his name there?
Yeah, he says Wineglass. Leonard Wineglass.
I got the state enjoined over that state tax on our driver's license against them. Sioux Nation market.
Mm-hmm. Their prices are extremely high compared to...
Yeah, and I got them on the tax.
Oh, that's why...
I end up having to own that son of a bitch store.
That's why Russell Means was in the store with a pad and pencil taking down prices of
that's when they hit
items,
him.
And he came out. They chased him out of there, and that's when they hit him.
And I got an ace in the hole, if necessary. I know a woman down there in Arizona. She's bigger than my aunt and I together. There's four or five of us. And she's got that kind of money, too.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to go to St. Louis... that's when she's going to step in there.
Yeah.
Her money.
Well, that's the trouble with fighting all these big legal cases, you know. It costs, you can, just aside from the question of knowing how to deal with the law, you got to...
Her ex-husband's a friend of mine, too. Old pal Money coming down there. They're split up and everything, not painted horses for him. In fact, he wants me to paint some more down there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, they split several $1 million when they got a divorce.
Wow. Well, it certainly costs a lot to mount a big defense. It's going to, these wounded knee cases.
Trust fund there or something like that. Have you ever heard of that?
Marion Davis?
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's Oklahoma.
Their people, they rent all the supplies to that rock out there. What the hell's the name of the Alcatraz? I'm going to send my nephew's name in there and try to get him some help. He's in law school now.
It's a foundation of Indian
foundation. No, it's white people, but they helped. I don't know how many Negroes and different other white people. They never did help Indian.
Did you know that they're taking beadwork and everything from the Indians out there at Wounded Knee?
But they wrote to me.
To Jan Zuzinski.
We heard that they, Szczesinski stood at the roadblock on Tuesday when they came back in, and as people were coming out being searched, he'd say, oh, that was in my store, that was in, or she, I don't know, the wife, I don't know which one, that was ours, only it wasn't true.
And then
and they took some of Crow Dog's and Black Elk's sacred things. I think a pipe of Black Elk's that had belonged to
and,
Crazy Horse.
Gladys Spotted Bear's son had some costumes that he made himself for his dancers. And then Saturday, I was in
Gordon.
How
about boil a bowl of re-Indian soup?
You fine with
Sounds
me?
Good.
Huh?
Sure.
Gladys Trueblood, Bird Channel, that runs with Jack and Jill. She told me that her granddaughter is acquainted with one of the girls that cleans, that runs this motel or cleans the rooms, and said these marshals just have all kinds of artifacts that they presumably took away from these Indians at the roadblock that they caught.
Where, which motel? Up there in Hot Springs, for instance?
No, up here in Gordon's Grass. Uh-huh. They took it up, took them away from them here at the roadblock. And here's this Jess Trueblood bragging around about how they beat up on all of them that they brought out of Wounded Knee up at the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's another goon squad.
Who? What's his name?
Jess Trueblood.
Jess Trueblood. He's married to my niece.
Can you list me some people that you know as goons? Like, I've got three here.
John B. Richard, Glenn Three Stars.
Gerald Big Crow.
I thought he quit him.
No.
I thought him and Dick got into arguing.
About how many? About how many people?
Earl Dion.
Earl Dion Jr.
Paul Ecofey, my own nephew.
How do you spell the last name?
E C O F F E Y. I'll find that list.
Okay.
And they included the BIA in place too, right, on this goon squad.
Perhaps we can do that when we take it out.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
There's some crackers there.
Okay.
Some salt and pepper.
Oh, okay.
Give me too much now, Albert.
Okay, so.
Good. Tim Folsom.
Yeah.
So he's no longer.
Do you think? Do you know him well? Do you have you think he would be willing
Is
to talk to us?
Plenty. Yeah, I think he would. And he said he'd done it for just the money.
Yeah.
That was involved.
Uh-huh.
How long was it?
What?
How long was it?
7 years, sir?
No, how long was it good?
What was he working?
Ever since then.
The beginning?
Let's see. About the last part of January and February.
And like he worked with them out on the roadblocks and
yeah.
All that?
Oh, and let's see what.
So what made him change his mind about it?
He told them what they were doing. We didn't think much of him. Where is he going to get a job? Who's going to support him after Dick Wilson is gone?
Yeah.
And he has to live here among the people, and he better stay neutral. We didn't tell him to take up for the Ames or anybody, but just stay neutral, stay out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Bob Ecclesby, well, my nephew on the council.
Bob
Ecclesby, Robert Ecclesby.
As well as Paul.
Paul, your first cousin.
Yeah.
But so Bob had a gun. He was out there. Same way as Bob Carl.
With Bob Carl on it.
Working on the robots and stuff.
Put him down as a grave robber, too.
A grave robber?
Yeah, he robs graves.
Yeah, he robs graves here. Ooh, about 10, 15, 12, 15
what
years
are they,
ago.
For what?
For
artifacts.
In fact, there's an Indian dress out there.
Beadwork, anything.
Some woman identified.
Old coins.
Because people
her
bury
grandmother them. Was buried
artifacts there. With the bodies. People bury their people's beadwork and stuff.
Yeah.
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 She identified that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But they didn't do anything
wrong. Do you know anything about Red Cloud from here?
Which Red Cloud?
I don't know. He was doing the powwow up in Rapid City last week. Last Sunday.
I don't know.
Probably Edgar.
Tall, slim guy.
Elderly fellow.
Red Cloud.
I think that was
it. Red Cloud, and that'd be Bernard. Kind of fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
Younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Oliver's, one of Oliver's boys.
Yeah, could have been, yeah. What the hell's his name? He went up for trial for embezzlement and tribal flood business. Associate judge at the same time. We bet it allowed me $15 before.
$15 isn't worth it.
But I don't know how many hundreds of dollars that other two.
We don't know how much he got away with.
We've had him with 15. Right?
Does Dorothy Richards, I hear that she's got a new house?
No, she
being built?
One of these houses up here. See, when Dorothy was a prosecutor and clerk of court, she was writing up these divorces and charging for them, putting them in her own pocket. I put a stop to that.
Of course, she'd like to get me in front of her.
Dorothy.
That'd be a complaint.
This, what's her name? Was running around with this Rawhide. You know, he got killed. What was her name?
Rawhide got killed? Used to be on another man?
Rawhide Patton. His sweetie pie. She got a divorce. From,
what the hell was that?
From Danny Clifford. And she paid the...
Danny boy?
Yeah. And Dorothy collected $20 from her for writing up the divorce.
Herbie, wasn't she?
Herbie, yeah. And Dorothy had to give the $20 back. I think she's still doing it. The other day I went in there. She's writing something up for a woman, and this woman paid her this money.
I was doing it right now.
As well as being the judge on it?
Not the judge. It's a fee, a court fee, and then...
But she's a judge, too, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. She's not supposed to write anything up like that, no petition.
Violation of that section.
And it was
2.2.
A petition that she was writing up. Court order she can write up. Tom Cook.
The one from New York?
Yeah, they served one of these orders on him, and he gave me $5, and I got the receipt in my pocket book. I'm in my papers at home. I won't give that receipt up. And then we ask for a show cause hearing. Dorothy May set the hearing. Tibbetts comes along with help of prosecutor and they vacate it. The prosecutor tells him to go to see Dick Wilson, and it says in that, you know, court order that unless it's been vacated or something by the executive committee, that I'll tell the commission how far can we get? Where can we go? They say these are internal affairs.
Were you up there at Kyle last weekend when they had this meeting?
Well, see, there's a reorganization act again. They're going to say that we haven't got an appeal out of here and that we're not citizens, do not have access to the federal court.
Mm-hmm.
That's one hound dog they don't want to ever jump up, I tell you.
So then I told them I do know one thing that we've got control over, and that's the EIA federal place. And I said, you better do something about it because I'm sick and tired of it. I said, I'm going to write in to Secretary of the Interior and the FBI about this.
Well, the thing is the you know, the whole government's been so tied up with Watergate since around the 17th of March.
Yeah, and I asked that Marshal Casey down here, did you know anything about my case? He said no.
They told me it'll take them 30 to 60 days before they get at this goon squad.
Who told you that? FBI?
FBI?
Yeah. Oh, they claimed that they were going to investigate about it?
On the Justice Department. And they had old man Fulcrow. They assaulted him on the road, this goon squad. What I hear, so Little Bean went out there and stayed all night at Fool's Crow's place.
Hmm?
I forgot to tell you about that.
Who went out there?
Little Bean. Went out there, old man Fool's Crow and his wife scared to death.
Well, Little Tyne went out there.
Not Little Tyne.
Little Bean.
Little Bean, the one that's, that stayed out there. She's one of the Lamont girls.
Oh, yeah.
And then the FBI, the investigators, are trying to intimidate Bobby Hawhorn. They're telling him that you're withholding information. They can get him for, yeah, withholding information in connection with the investigation of these crimes.
Do you know anything about people already going to the grand jury to talk or to testify?
Not yet. The first bunch has just been, you know, arranged this week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Going up to Sioux Falls, though, to the...
Yeah, I do. One of them is a sitting eagle married to a Lillian Red Star. What the heck is his name?
Well, he went, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what case they did.
And then there's Hildegard Ketch's husband went.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Isn't Hildegard Ketch's was in civil rights?
Yeah, she went with him to Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Ketch's what?
Him.
Hildegard Ketch's husband.
Hildegard Ketch's husband. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell his name is. I know
Everett.
Everett Ketch's.
Hmm. This was back during the occupation? When they were subpoenaed?
No, after. Yeah, this sitting eagle went over there twice.
Back already?
And during the last week of the occupation, they subpoenaed this Everett Ketch's.
Uh-huh.
They also, I think, subpoenaed this Everett Janice.
Is he a relation to Gerald?
I don't know. He was involved with...
distant relation to Geraldine's husband.
He was involved with... King and Ike Raville, you know, supposed to have been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And there's numerous ones that I've gone, I think.
Well, the FBI's been questioning all the residents in there at Wingate now in the last couple of weeks, and the lawyers are expecting more people to be subpoenaed.
Yeah, they're still questioning them.
Because what they want to do is bring indictments against a lot of the people who were involved in there, who so far haven't been arrested.
Jesus. The misfortunes of Martha, I've got one tongue that works pretty well.
Martha Mitchell?
She's after Nixon's hair.
There's one woman on the radio out of, she's out of Omaha. She called KBSR chat and said she's sick and tired of this Watergate deal. And it's a disgrace to the American people that they don't want to hear about it anymore. For her, this wounded knee is far worse than Watergate. So I got on her radio and I told them that's just her opinion. She doesn't know. I said, those are educated lawyers, administrators, and politicians. I said, our Indians don't have that kind of education. I said, they were just trying to bring up a point. I said, we've been treated like children, I said, for the last 100 years, and got our little Indians to put an X down there, and they couldn't read what they wrote or signed. They had to get somebody else's word to interpret. So I said, that's the only way we could cry out. I said, like a spoiled kid that's been neglected by the parents over a period of years. Finally, I said, that child throws a tantrum. I said, that's what happened at Wounded Knee.
You know that guy from, that Democrat from Georgia, Herman Talmadge.
Talmadge, yeah.
How do you spell that?
T-A-L-M-A-D-G-E.
D-G-E.
Talmadge, yeah.
Well, he's a tough, tough nut boy.
Yeah.
So they're talking about politics. Politics is dirty. I said, she said politics is dirty. I said, I don't think politics is dirty. Politics is all right. I said, but I said, after, I said, it's the dirty men that get in there and that handles politics.
Yeah.
And makes it dirty.
I'm trying to have a
moment.
Okay.
I'll take half. No. Yeah, you can give me a little more. Well, I don't know. We're just thwarted. We're defeated. We're discouraged. And that's the way they want us to be.
I don't think you're
so
defeated.
We'll give up. But there's a few of us are not going to give up. Now there's an internal fight here.
Among the Indian people?
Among Wounded Knee occupants and those that are trying to help, like Gladys Spotted Bear and...
Is that the same as Gladys Bissonnette, you mean?
Since they come out.
Is Gladys Spotted Bear Gladys Bissonnette?
Yeah, Bissonnette, huh?
Yeah.
And, what did I say? Lulu Bean and Ellen Winters. They don't like Dolores Swiftberg and Barbara Means. Because they weren't out there, actually out there. But they're doing a lot of work on the outside that's just as effective or more effective than the occupants of Wounded Knee, to my belief.
Yeah.
But I don't mean that. I don't appreciate them being out there.
Yeah. They took certain risks and stuff, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Over at what time is it?
Quarter of 4. Yeah.
This is.
Had to look twice.
You guys going back to Rapid tonight?
Well, we're going up to Kyle.
Oh.
Because there's this meeting up there, a unity meeting that I guess it's part of the reason it's happening is because there's all these FBI agents going around now interviewing people and they're going to subpoena people and.
Here's another thing. They weren't supposed to have that goon squad at the roadblock, and they have the goon squad at the roadblock.
Now, since the...
At that meeting, Thursday and Friday,
right.
When the commission was there.
That's right.
They said it was to protect the Indians.
But they want to have this meeting, I think. I guess Crow Dog and and soon to try and talk to a lot of the people and make sure everybody, you know, understands what your rights are when the FBI comes and just kind of get some unity together.
See, they kicked this Judy Cornelius out.
Yeah.
She's with Stephen's woman, Vicki Wilson, and in fact she...
What's her name?
Judy Cornelius. In fact, she had an illegitimate baby about 2 or 3 months ago, and they claim it belongs to Dick.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the Wilson $500 baby.
How do you spell her last name, Julie?
Cornelius. It's a Oneida Indian name.
Mm-hmm.
And she went out there Thursday. So Ellen moved her forcibly out of there and told her not to come back.
At Kyle, you mean?
Yeah, at Fools Fools.
Why? Because Ellen thought she was working for Wilson?
I didn't know of.
Because Ellen thought she was working for Wilson.
See, they were trying to buy me, I know now. And they put up $100 for me to paint that first baby here, you see. And maybe $200 on the end. Well, I said, I'm going to be done in a few days. And, well, don't hurry now, just take your time, see. They were trying to hold this $300 subtly over me to think that they're going to win me over. See, I know how they act. This is some time back. Oh, shortly before I got that SBA loan.
And why did they want to, what were they looking for from you?
Well, they wanted to win me over so I wouldn't oppose them, see.
So then
Friday...
Because
I make the waves go higher when I oppose them.
Yeah.
So Friday, when she went back in there...
I already rocked her boat.
There was an old lady, kicked her in the shins. Made her get out there. So now she's, get out there. So now she's got a warrant out against Vernon Long and Geraldine Janais. Geraldine wasn't out there Thursday. Or Friday.
Yeah.
We was out there Wednesday afternoon. I don't know why she'd make a assault and battery charge against Geraldine when she was there.
Just to harass Geraldine?
Yeah, I don't think so. There's a lot of little barbs and skullduggery.
Yeah, they're talking about a ladybird. They say grief carries its own anesthesia. It gets you over a lot. Poor girl.
Ladybird? She's not too
poor. What the hell's the name of that town, Johnsonville, where they live, isn't it?
Johnson City.
Or Johnson, Texas.
That's where he got all her money.
She had loot, didn't she?
Well, she had the capital, the initial capital, and then he was
Radio
a crook.
Station.
He was one of the biggest crooks you ever saw, Johnson.
He's subtle.
He didn't get caught. Dwayne Nixon's getting caught, but
that finesse, you know.
You know, I always will believe back in my mind, as soon as President Kennedy got assassinated, that Johnson had something to do with that.
I think so.
Innermost mind.
I think Nixon did too.
With Kennedy's assassination.
I think that very strong. I've got a few facts behind that, too.
But Johnson had tremendously wealthy business interests in Texas, the oil interests that were backing him up, and there was some very close associate of his was a guy named Root, Mr. Root, I don't know his first name, he had a company, Brown and Root, a giant corporation which was involved in a lot of construction and stuff. And that Brown and Root got all the contracts for building American bases in Vietnam, billions of dollars worth of contracts. And it's like one of the reasons Johnson was so interested in us going into Vietnam was because his friend was getting all this.
Well, there before then, when
right.
Kennedy was still living.
Well, we were there, but I mean, Johnson.
Here's Cardinal Spellman.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he conned Kennedy into going over there. Now, MacArthur, he advised, remember, anyone at the. Commit this nation to a ground war in Asia is crazy, or words to that effect. But then, in my opinion, that little guy Truman down there from St. Louis or wherever, Missouri somewhere, Independence or wherever it was, I admired him in some ways. Then again, I didn't think he had any call to can that great general. I might be wrong, but I used to get his dog face at a bad time about, you know, as few guys know what MacArthur, you know, when he came back to Manila, you know, 3 years, and I shall return all that. He didn't like the pictures, so hauled everybody out to drink again, see? Made him come in again, nice teasing, like these soldiers, your dog faces, hauling them out. I said, look, I'm the general, I don't like the way you look coming in, I'm hauling you out to drink too. I said, you know, because I was in the Navy. I do that in jest, of course, random. But like MacArthur wanted to do, go across the damn Yalu and get it settled. Now here, that thing's still pending yet. And hell, Napoleon, let China sleep, and when she awakes, the world will tremble, and then it's beginning to tremble now. I've been across China, I've been there, I know what the hell China is. I was there at the end of World War II. I don't know whether it's true or not. They say that Mao Tse-tung had a price on my head one time. I don't know whether it's true. I don't know. They said it was 10,000. Some say it was 5. Some say it was 20. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Are you folks going to be back again after tonight?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be back.
Yeah.
I mean, we're planning at least it'll be. All this investigation we're doing will take us a couple of weeks, at least. And
does it look good?
Well, we
it's coming together.
It's hard. It's slow work, you know. It's a lot of there's a lot of people to interview. There's three or four other people besides us. We're working all as a committee to put it together. And there's a lot of work to it. But we've turned up some interesting things, you know. And
did you find anything startling to you, or?
Well, it's a little early to tell exactly what's coming together, but we have like some interesting leads around. Well, you know, like what we're trying to do is put together.
Here's a girl got an act like Dale Hall used to have, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Grandma's friend. I saw her out in California. She come back more.
We're just trying to, you know, see if we can establish what different events surrounding the occupation and trying to establish incidents of harassment on the part of the goons.
Well, is there any chance of proving anything on Dickie Wilson, criminal charges?
Well, that's what we'd like to do. That's
why we need all the paperwork we can get.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why even things like the number of times that he has not held meetings, you know, the number of times he has not notified
people. The crucial thing is his failure to bring the council together precisely the second week. Those 2 months that have gone by, January and April.
Right.
Now, the next regular session is July. Well, while that's going on now, he can do a lot of things between now and then.
Uh-huh.
Now, they keep sending me my check. Maybe they think, well, we won't suspend him. Although I signed an article not to attend the meeting, see. They suspended Long, then they're going to have to give Long all of that goddamn money back.
Dave Long is?
Yeah, if the judge rules that the chief judgeship is mine, they're going to be over $10,000 in arrears in salary to me.
Council members are salaried?
As chief judge. Not particularly as council. As a council member, they may, through what they call it, quantum myriad? No, that's not it. That's not the term. Anyway, there's some legal terminology that. Whereas they paid me a short amount as a councilman, having to work as a councilman, they may deduct that from the, you know what I mean, the over 10,000 which there are in arrears. Mm-hmm. Now.
Oh, before I forget, the prosecutor asked me this morning, too, what do you think about Koloff coming back here? And I looked at him, I said, no comment.
Who is that, Koloff?
He was the one that was in. I told you about that.
No, I want that guy here. I don't want him going anywhere. I may have to go clear to Texas to get that other one that I had shipped.
Well, I didn't condemn him. I said, well, I don't know. I said,
you should have shut him up and said, oh.
I told him, I said, no comments.
What
right
a friend
now.
We have in Jesus. You
but I said, the way things are looking, we just as well have him as anybody else.
I know that Dell. He'd like to hang me. That Dell Eastman.
Mm-hmm.
He's with Wilson.
But
you know.
But the superintendent asked me.
Have you sensed that in your travels?
Mm-hmm. I bet Dell Eastman was sitting here. Yeah.
Yesterday he was.
Well, he's a fool. See, when Wilson's out of there, we'll just shanghai his ass clear to hell to Aleutians to some island solely inhabited by birds. You see.
Really, that's too good for him.
I got a good idea who's going to be the next.
next chairman, Jack, I'm not limited to say that, but it's not going to be motion, better than that.
Should we go to your place and try to find that list?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I can't find it, I can mail it to you.
Okay, I'll give you the address.
It's too late now, but I'll call tomorrow, first thing in the morning.
Oh, some calls?
Yeah, I'll be over in the morning.
Okay.
Homer, you want us to, like, tomorrow we make copies of the stuff and we'll mail it all right back to you? Mail back the original?
Do you get all your mail?
Just bailed, huh?
Do you get your mail?
Yeah, mail 444, box 444.
Okay, wait.
Hobart Keith.
In a plain envelope.
I get my mail, it'll come to that.
They don't. A copy of that, Clearwater summons.
I got some others, I'll find you another one.
Desk and it says Sidney Witt on top of it, where did you get that?
Bylaws, but this particular one's the only one I can find right now.
I don't know, that, I don't know.
Well, that's all right, we'll just Xerox that.
That was, we were only supposed to serve Judge Tibbetts with the Clearwater one.
Well, did you leave that one for Judge Tibbetts?
What's the zip code down there in Pine Ridge?
Well, maybe Joe Jacobs or Eastman gave them their copy.
That's still interfering with federal process server, you were appointed.
That wasn't for, the one that we served on Jacobs was the one for Finnerty, not for Morningstar.
Now look, didn't the judge appoint you to serve these?
Right, I had a federal court order.
All right. Now, over the signature of Fred Nickel, I wrote and told him about that, Tibbetts doing it, see. In my opinion, the old Judge Nickel's going to come back and he's going to lay something heavy on that Nickel, I don't want this Tibbetts down.
Well, that Bogue was pretty little bit. He lifted up his eyebrows at that too, because he.
Well, you know, he said Nickel, he takes a bull by the horn. I know him.
Where you said how you visited him? Oh, wait a minute. I understand. Nobody outside of our committee of investigating people has access to the tapes anyway.
Pays to have an ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Sure does.
That's right.
No matter how the water looks, you see.
Right.
Okay, well, we'll get these down to you. Mm-hmm. Get these copies and get them back down.
Well, I appreciate you gentlemen coming in. Well, what you doing, huh? That's that. Here. You got a dollar. Keep your mouth shut. Gold there. Anybody got change for $5?
I wish I did.
Where it goes.